won't sign it. House Republicans are shutting down the government.
It's like a 1930s gangster film. It's a nice government you got there. It's a nice economy you got there. Pity if it should happen to blow up if you don't pay us off by giving us what we want.
Oh, we're compromising. Instead of chopping off both your arms, we'll chop off only one arm. Aren't we great? It's like mass psychosis has taken over the Republican caucus, and they're holding not just Democrats hostage, but the entire country hostage in the funding of the government.
All right, we are here. It's the Rebecca Juro Show. Thanks for tuning in. Oh, my God. I mean, you know, just when you think Congress can't possibly get more idiotic and short-sighted and childish than it already is, they go and do something to say, no, I didn't actually know what the hell I was talking about. There are still entirely new levels of idiocy, stupidity, yes, and immaturity that these people can still sink to that we haven't even plundered yet. I mean, seriously, I mean, what's going to happen? Are they going to, like, wait until they, like, basically destroy the economy and, like, put people into poverty all over the place?
Yes, that's the idea. You
know, I mean, it's just insane.
Just
and then they wonder.
Well, they don't want people addicted to government sugar, as
oh,
they were
yeah,
saying.
Because, you the know, sugar. I mean, that $4 a day you get to live on food stamps, that's, you know, really living large there, you know? Huh. I mean, what planet do these people live on? But, you know, I have to say, I mean, as bad as this is, and granted, this is entirely a Republican creation, we know this. But, you know, when Democrats get self-righteous about stuff like this, I hesitate. Because, you know what? There's more than enough hypocrisy to go around here. You know, I mean, because when the party that says to you, oh, don't worry, we'll fight for your civil rights. Oh, what, election over? Did I say something? You know, I mean, when that party is arguing morals and claims the moral high ground, the party that fucks over the little guy to pander to the wealthy and well-connected. And no, I don't mean the Republicans. I'm talking about the Democrats. I know it's kind of hard to tell the difference sometimes. But, you know, when that party starts, you know, arguing that they have the moral high ground, I start to, you know, my bullshit detector starts to get into the red zone. You know, now, granted, this time around, hey, I mean, there's no question. This is a Republican creation. It's not going to work. And kudos to Obama and to the Democrats for standing up and refusing to be bullied on this. It's about damn time you guys found your spine on something. I mean, we're still waiting for you to find it on ENDA and, you know, that radical concept of, you know, hey, maybe everybody who's a citizen should have the same chance at a job and a place to live. You know, maybe if you guys could, like, wrap your minds around that radical concept, you know, radical for, like, you know, I don't know, 1970. But, I mean, seriously, when these people try to argue morality and say, oh, it's all the evil Republicans' fault, I'm sorry, but, you know, you're just not credible. I mean, because you'd pull the same kind of nonsense. The difference is the Republicans at least are honest about who they're trying to fuck over. They're trying to fuck over the poor, the disenfranchised, anybody who's not in their corporate donors, anybody, you know. But the difference is Democrats do the same thing. They just do it more quietly. You know, what's the difference if you're pandering to the Club for Growth or to the Human Rights Campaign? I mean, where is the difference there, really? I mean, it's just, are you looking to the left or are you looking to the right? I mean, that's really the only difference here. Now, of course, this, even the Democrats, as craven as they can be, have never been quite this irresponsible. So, you know, I certainly are in the degree category, in the level category, in the you know, the ridiculousness category. Republicans, absolutely, hands down, they win this one, as far as I'm concerned. But, I mean, God, don't act like you're, you know, like Democrats are poor, innocent, you know, sheep who just only want what's best for everyone and try to play this little game. Because anybody who pays attention to the news knows you're full of crap. I mean, seriously. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think the Democrats are right to stand up to this. I think President Obama is right to stand up. Okay, I think that the Republicans are clearly in the wrong here. But don't try to make it like you're some morally superior group, because you're not. You just do the same things. You fuck over. The difference is Republicans fuck over the poor people on the left. Democrats fuck over the poor people on the right. What's the difference, really? The only difference is the messaging. Honestly. Honestly. That's really the only difference here. And the degree of the damage. That's the other difference. Is the degree of damage. Yeah, okay, ENDA doesn't get passed. A lot of us get fucked over. But at least you're not destroying the entire country's economy. At least you're not depriving people, innocent people, of their paychecks. You see, because that's what it is. You know, Republicans are depriving government workers of their paychecks. What's the difference? Well, Democrats, you know, like President Obama, won't even sign to protect a paycheck for an LGBT federal worker. So where's the difference, really? We've been waiting 17 years for the House to take a vote on ENDA. And every time it gets pushed back and pushed back and pushed back and delayed and pushed back. And then, you know, by the end of the session, oh, geez, so sorry, we didn't do it again. Just like we heard about last time and the time before that. Oh, and yes, and the time before that and the time before that and the time before that and the time before that. And oh, yes, the time before that as well. I mean, is this really credible? Is this really credible? You know, when do we start hearing that quote about people in glass houses? That's what I want to know. Because if there's anyone less credible on this issue, it's congressional Democrats. If there's anyone who's least credible on telling somebody else to take to rise to where they're claiming their moral high ground is, if there's anyone less qualified to do that, I'm not aware of who that would be. I mean, seriously, okay? This is a party that has been screwing over the little guy for decades. And now they're going to turn around and blame it all on the Republicans? It's just like it's going on here, Chris Christie. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Barbara Buono. I think she's great. I think she would make an awesome governor. I have all intentions of voting for her. Just got my ballot in the mail. Yes, thank you, mail-in voting. We love it. Okay, I just got my ballot. I'm going to vote for Barbara Buono. Just like I'm voting for Cory Booker. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love her. But the New Jersey Democrats are just as hypocritical as federal Democrats. Okay, here they go. Chris Christie, he's the reason we don't have same-sex marriage in New Jersey. Bullshit, bullshit, and bullshit. The reason we don't have same-sex marriage in New Jersey is because of a guy whose name is Steve Sweeney, Senate Majority Leader. Barbara Buono's old job. Okay, well, Senate Majority Leader Steve Sweeney had an opportunity. Yes, they had the votes, and they even had a governor in John Corzine, the guy who was governor before Chris Christie, who would have signed that bill into law. Who caved at the last minute? Yeah, you got it, Steve Sweeney. Steve Sweeney, Senate Majority President, at the last minute, caved on gay marriage, took several equally spineless Democrats with him, and that, my friends, is the real reason why we don't have gay marriage in the state of New Jersey today. Because Democrats couldn't find their spines to stand up for what they say their values are when they needed to stand up. They caved, and LGBT New Jerseyans paid the price as a result. So when these guys come and now they're trying to pin it on Chris Christie, what a crack of shit. What a crock of shit. I mean, seriously. See, that's the problem. Is Democrats trying to make themselves, trying to cast themselves as the moral center? They're not. That's the problem. They're not. And I'll say this again. I've said this 100 times. So people are probably getting tired of hearing me say it, but I'll say it anyway. We need to start replacing these seat warmers, these moderate, semi-progressive cowards, with real activists, with true progressives, the people who don't just adopt the progressive name because it sounds good. That they actually are progressives, people, politicians, legislators who are interested in actually making progress. Which means we got to get rid of Harry Reid. We got to get rid of Nancy Pelosi. We got to get rid of Steny Hoyer. We got to get rid of all these guys who are just not willing to stand up. Okay? You got to start replacing them with progressives, real progressives. The Tea Party has the right idea. They're coming at it from the wrong side. But they got the right idea. You don't like what your politician is doing? You don't like what your legislator is saying and voting for on your behalf in Congress? You get them out. And it's time we started doing that. I don't know about you, but I'm sick to death of being a secondary concern. You make my civil rights your concern. Why? Because I'm your constituent. And you're supposed to go to Washington to speak for me. And if you're not going to do that, well, then you shouldn't expect me to stand up. And when you send me those letters every other day asking me for money, and when you send me those letters asking me to tell my friends and to go support your candidate and to vote and to give you money, 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 well, you know what? I'm not interested. I'm not supporting you. Why? Because you don't support me or anyone I care about or the people that I care about, the people who need your support. And you can throw me under the bus. Well, then when it comes, when you come to me with your hands out begging for money, you know what? I'm going to shut the door in your face because that's all you deserve. If you can't stand up for me when I need you to do it, well, then you have no right to expect me to do it for you. I mean, seriously, think about it. If the Democratic Party put 1/10 of the effort into fighting for employment rights, for LGBT equality, as they do in asking us for money, and begging for scraps, for begging us for more money, 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 could you send us 5? Could you send us 10? Could you send us 20? 5, 10, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20. If they put 1/10 of the effort they put into their begging into actually doing, well, then we might be having a different conversation. But they don't. This is where their money goes. This is where your money is going to go. It's going to go to fund people to send emails and phone calls to other people to beg them for money. Don't we deserve better than that? I think we do. And I'll tell you what, I'm not, even if I had the money, which I don't, I'm not paying for that shit. I'm not paying for the salary of some executive director of Obama for America or Organizing for America, whatever the fuck they're calling it now, okay? I'm not paying for them to for their new executive director's six-figure salary so that then they can go and beg other rich people for money. Sorry, my money is going to better things, okay? I'm not going to be supplying that. They come out with this statement, oh, well, you know, we'd like you to stand up and support our work on ENDA. And I say, yeah, really? What work on ENDA? What have you done? Okay? And I'm going to be saying the same thing to every one of these Democratic lapdog organizations like the Human Rights Campaign and the Task Force and Organizing for America and all these lapdog organizations that run interference for cowardly Democrats and for a cowardly White House that won't stand up, that won't keep its promises. I mean, seriously, why should we put up with this nonsense? Ooh, look at this. Person who was our guest tonight, who we can't... okay, well, all right. I was having a conversation I was having a conversation. We're supposed to have. Well, let me.
Can we have our guest?
We're supposed to have a guest tonight. Yeah. But you know what? We've only got a couple minutes till break. This person is actually contacting me, but it's a long story. I'll get into it when we come back from break.
Sure.
But suffice it to say, she says, if we skip large chunks of her story that we can talk, we still have her on the air. And I'm not so sure I want to do that because the whole story is that I want to cover this. And you'll understand why, because we're going to get into it right after the story. Basically, I'll give you a quick little tidbit. It's trans woman. This woman, she's a trans woman. I believe she's in Britain, in Great Britain. And she went to an event, a gaming event. She's a gamer. In other words, an MMO gamer, or a gamer, plays video games, I should say. Okay, I don't know if she's an MMO gamer. She plays video games. And we were going to have her on the show. She went to an event called Eurogamer. And she was really badly mistreated. Really badly. And I wanted to have her on. I wanted to talk. But apparently she's made some sort of a deal with some of the people involved with this. And she's skittish about having telling the whole story. Well, that's the whole thing. I want to tell the whole story because I think the whole story is important. And as much as I, you know, want to have her on, I'm not sure I want to have her on with knowing that you know, we can only talk about certain things. So what I'm going to do is unfortunately, the email just came in while we're on the air. So I'm not going to take the time to get back to her right now. But we'll see. Maybe we can work something out so we can have her on in a couple of weeks. I should remind people, well, not remind you because I haven't told you yet, but I should tell people that next week, next Thursday, we will not be live. We are taking the week off. Mr. Mike has some business to take care of, so we are going to be taking the week off. We will be live the following week. That will be the 17th, I believe. Okay, so look for us then. But we will not be live next week. Okay, and it looks like it is about time for our first break. And, I got to introduce this one. Yes, we're breaking that rule again, but because it's a special occasion, for the first time in 7 years, Joan Jett has released a new album. And, yeah, we got a little piece of it. I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. We new Joan. This one is called Make It Back. We'll see you in about 5 seconds.
There's lightning in the sky, and the houses are on fire. The sun is getting cold.
Nothing! You lose! Good day, sir!
I wanna be a Republican. I'm tired of doing what I should. Wanna do what I can. Grab as much as I can. Keep it all for me. Cause life is a party, and the grand old party is a party where I wanna be.
Lower taxes are God's plan. Global warming helps my tan. Give a gun to every man to protect us from non-Aryans. When you know you're better than all those non-Americans, there's no need to join the Klan. Just become Republican.
I'm tired of thinking about you when it's all about me, 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 me. With values strong, they fight the obscene. Now I found a place where I am embraced to be selfish and mean.
Like things as they used to be. Miss the old Confederacy. Government should let us be, but not your band or your body. Tired of diversity. Defund universities. Set the corporations free. Come and join the GOP.
Have you looked at the look at them and say, how do you deny them access? I don't get that.
Difficult.
Well, it should be difficult.
It is difficult. I'm sorry, sir.
Park Service should be ashamed of these guys.
I'm not ashamed.
You should.
I'm not in terms of it being a no cost. More or less, it doesn't cost anyone for people to come in here.
Mr. Reeves.
This woman is doing her job just like me. I'm a 30-year federal veteran. I'm out of work.
Well, the reason you are is Mr. Reed is...
No, it's because the government won't do its job and pass a budget.
That's a guy, it's a Texas representative named Randy Neugebauer, who voted for the government shutdown, and he's just raking this poor woman from the Park Service, who's there at the Veterans Memorial, over the coals for something that he did. What
right,
a
exactly.
slime bag.
It's disgusting. But you see, that's the problem. The Republicans want it both ways. The Republicans want it both ways. What they want is they want all their ideological goodies, but they don't want to take responsibility for their ideological goodies. And in that, as I've said before, they're really no different than the Democrats, okay? Democrats refuse to stand up when they're supposed to, when they promise to, when we need them to, and then they say, well, you know, oh, well, we were doing what the community asked us to. You know, remember a la Pelosi, you know? Oh, the community wasn't enthusiastic about ENDA, so we went with Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I mean, does anybody believe this nonsense anymore? And it just goes to show you that it's the same thing on both sides. This isn't a Republican thing. It's a politician thing. It's a government-sponsored bullshitter thing, which is what these people are. Again, the only real difference is whether they're bullshitting from the left or they're bullshitting from the right. Honestly, I mean... And don't get me wrong, again, I want to make clear, in this particular case, in this particular instance, yeah, the Republicans are, it's all their fault. I mean, there's no question. No question. And what this guy just did, taking on a wage, you know, somebody who's probably makes a decent but not great salary, someone who's out there as a member of the Park Service, part of the working class, and these federal employees do not make piles and piles of money.
And beating up on a woman, too. That's the other thing that really rubbed me the wrong way.
But you know what? Forget about the woman part, because, you know, I'll tell you the truth. I tend to believe that women, if women want both things, you know, you got to have both. You want to compete with men, and you should, and men should, and women should compete head to head. But then, you know, you got to be tough, okay? And those parks rangers, those are tough folks, okay? They do what they do, and it's not an easy job. Okay, and I think that they deserve some respect. And I said, forget about the woman part. How about you respect the uniform? How about you respect the service? How about you respect the dedication to the job that that person puts in? How about we respect that aspect? Forget about the fact of her gender. How about respect the fact that she's a government worker? Do you know what I'm saying? I find it offensive that this jackass from
uh-oh. Wonder what's going on here. Becky, can you hear?
What's going on?
We lost you there temporarily.
Oh,
you completely went away. Yeah, you're back.
Oh, okay. Sorry about
that. I've got to tell you that I'm having some odd problems that we've had before with Skype. I've been getting security warnings here telling me that there's an exploit in process, and it seems to have something to do with the app. We've had this happen before, and we've actually had a virus infection or some kind of exploit that was removed from this computer that Becky's talking through right now. And it seems to happen when they push ads. An ad came up and I got this security warning. So I don't really know what's up here, but if we lose you, I will call you back. And if we are really having a security thing, I'll try you on a different computer altogether. So let's keep an eye on the situation and we'll edit this from the podcast. Thankfully. Bye.
Yes, very good. But anyway, I getting back to what I was saying here, I think taking out this jackass from Congress, taking it out on this innocent federal worker who all she was doing was her job, wasn't even probably getting paid. And she's got to deal with this jack-off? I mean, forget about Republican, forget about Democrat. I don't care what party this guy is from. He's an asshole.
It's the hypocrisy that gets me. He voted to shut down the government, and then he's trying to blame it on her. Great.
Right. It's disgraceful. It's disgraceful. And it's just, you know, in a way, not only that, okay, but regardless of how he voted, whether he voted for it or whether he voted against it, the reality is she, this park ranger, is not responsible. And he's trying to make score political points by attacking her. That is, I mean, you know, you see some pretty contemptible stuff in Washington, D.C. on both sides. But that really is among the most contemptible behavior I think I've witnessed. You know, when you hear things like disgusting, like when Congress decides to cut, you know, $40 million from SNAP, when they forget to tell you that the Democrats' original pledge was, oh, it was so much better. They only wanted to cut $2 million from SNAP, from food stamps. So it wasn't ever a matter of, oh, the Republicans are evil, horrible people, and the Democrats are nice, wonderful people. The difference was only a matter of degree. Okay, the question was not if anybody gets screwed by the politicians in Washington. The question was, how much do they get screwed? What's the degree? How many families are going to go hungry? That was the only real difference there. The question is not, are people going to get kicked off food stamps? The question is, how many? So please, you know, again, it's, you know, Democrats acting like they're the chosen ones, you know, oh, we're the heroes. Well, yeah, heroes that were willing to cut $2 million out of food stamps before the Republicans even got their hands on it. Okay, so, you know, I think moral high ground here, it sure as hell doesn't belong to the Democrats. I think the people who really have the moral high ground here are average people who are just trying to get by. People, parents and relatives and friends and neighbors who make sacrifices so that people can eat and go to school and have clothes to wear and all that stuff. Really. I mean, seriously, I think we've reached a point where we have to be able to, I don't know, I'm losing, We have to be able to look at this in an intelligent way and say, you know what? Democrats, Republicans, Democrats, you don't get to claim the moral high ground by simply claiming it. You have to actually do something to earn it. And when you throw the little guy under the bus and claim and make lies that say, oh, well, that's what the community wanted, trying to once again escape blame, just like this asshole congressman did with, you know, the difference is, you know what the difference is? The difference is there is no difference, okay? The difference is that instead of doing it face to face to somebody like the Republican did, the Democrats try to do it by remote control. Oh, well, you know, we were told by this mythical group of people that we think represents the community that this is what you wanted. Forget about the fact that it doesn't match up with any of the media that was around at the time. Forget about the fact that nobody making under six figures really wanted Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the hate crimes bill to go before ENDA, before our right to work and provide for our families. Forget about that, right? I mean, I'm sorry, but I don't trust Democrats. You know what the truth is? The truth, honest God truth is? I trust Democrats less than I trust Republicans. Because Republicans, you know where they're going to be. If you have an LGBT bill, you know what John Boehner's going to do when it hits his desk, right? I mean, there's no doubt. Okay? You know how most Republicans are going to vote on these bills, right? There's no doubt. Yes, does it change now and then? Are there situations where somebody, you know, who happens to be a Republican may vote for something or blah, 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 blah? Yeah, of course there are. There are switches and changes. But for the most part, you know where these people are. Whereas the Democrats, it's so different. because Democrats will tell you, oh, yeah, we support your civil rights. We'll fight for you. Just get us 20 more members, and we'll do it. Just get us 15 more members. Remember Barney Frank? Just get us 15 more members, and we'll get ENDA passed into law. And then they just don't do it. Okay, well, it looks like we may have her guest, our guest here. I am not... Oh, okay.
So let's see if we can add you two together. I don't know if Laura is on with us or not. Laura, are you there?
Laura?
We see you there, but we see Laura's picture, but we don't hear Laura. Oh, here we go.
Oh, bummer.
Okay. Hi, Laura.
Ball failed.
Oh, uh-oh. Interesting.
Well, let's try again. Because, yeah, I was going to get into this, but let's see if we get Laura on the phone, and we'll tell you who she is, if we can get her on the phone. Nope. Okay, well, while you're working on that, let me, why don't I get started talking about this?
Okay.
Well, basically what happened here was this is a person who is a gamer and somebody who writes on gaming in the industry. There's a site called Destructoid, which I believe is European, that she writes for. And this is her name is Laura Kate Dale. She went to an event in Euro called Eurogamer, and what Eurogamer is basically a big convention-type situation where a lot of big gaming companies, they come to show off their new games and that kind of thing. And she apparently was at this is an Xbox event. In other words, it was an event that was about Xbox games, many of which also, I play on my PC at home. But many people use what's called consoles, which is the PlayStation and then Xbox. Well, she was at this event, and apparently, let's see. Well, wait a minute. What am I looking at?
Where I am with Laura. Laura says that there are a couple of things that you need to know about. So what I'm doing is just acting as a little intermediary between you two here with I am.
Okay. All right. Well, I see Laura has popped up on the screen again. Laura, are you there?
Yeah. Hello.
Hey, how you doing? Okay. We finally connected.
Fantastic. All right.
Okay. Well, I was just in the process of, describing what went on. Basically, I was telling people that you were at this event called Eurogamer, and there was a comedian there who thought he was being funny, but apparently I'll use the word that was in the headline of the article I read, dehumanized you, referred to you, I believe, as a man, as an it. And all of this apparently for the entertainment of a gaming audience, which, as we know, is in many cases made up of young gay men. And so I wanted to start with you. I know that there's certain things you're not entirely comfortable talking about, so we can avoid those. But I wanted to ask you what your perspective on the situation was and how that made you feel as a trans person.
Yeah, just to do a little overview, I'm guessing the article you saw was probably the Kotaku article, is that right?
Probably, yeah.
Probably, it's the big one that was going around.
Right.
A couple of little things I just want to address before we start. The fact he is a comedian is not something I knew. He wasn't trying to play it off for laughs. It was, as best I can tell, it was an unfortunate misunderstanding that a lot of sites have sort of presented as having been a deliberate attempt at humor. There's a public statement we've got coming tomorrow, and as such, what I will say is that I'm happy to say that, yes, I went up on stage, and for whatever reason, I was misgendered on stage. It was said that I was a man, and various other phrases we used that were not ways that I was comfortable being described. I will put it that way.
Okay.
It's one of the, yeah, sorry about that.
That's fine.
It's one of those things that being up there, the example that I will give is that I'd been past this stage several times over the weekend, and like at no point over that weekend had there ever been more than one woman on stage. They always brought one woman up on stage to be like, sort of, okay, this is our token woman, so we're not seen as sexist within the games industry. And I'm already up on stage, and he starts saying, yeah, can we get a woman up on stage? We need a woman up on stage. We've not got a woman up on stage. We need a woman up on stage. And my heart just dropped. It was that moment of, if I could have given anything to not be on that stage at that moment, I would have.
I know what you're saying.
That was the moment where I just felt like, oh, no, this is my worst nightmare.
I totally feel you on that because I've been a gamer for a lot of years. So I go back so far that I don't know. If you're really into it, you may know if you ever heard of the Magnavox Odyssey game. I had one of those when I was a child.
Yes.
That's how far back I go. but what I wanted to ask you was now, obviously, you know, this person says that they weren't intentionally trying. I mean, what is the argument? When someone says those kind of things, it calls you a man, and you know, somebody pointed out on one of the responses, I wanted to get your responses, that they said, well, look at these gaming conventions. Everybody's wearing crazy stuff, and that the person may have just been confused because with all the costumes and things like that. Is that a valid argument to you?
I've seen that argument a lot, and the thing is that all of the sites that have covered me have used the same one picture, which is my Twitter picture, which is from a separate convention. At Eurogamer, I wasn't in cosplay. I was just, you know, normally dressed. And again, the argument, like the playing devil's advocate, what happened on his side is that, having been very tired from a long day of presenting, he just wasn't really paying attention, didn't pick up on the fact that just like misread my gender and did a bad job of trying to, once he realized what was going on, did a very bad job of how he handled the situation. I think that's it's weird. I'm trying to work out how to say this fairly.
I totally get that. Let's talk.
I don't want to attack him.
I understand that. But I'd like to talk to you something a little bit more general. You're somebody who's involved with the industry. You've seen this from the perspective of a trans person as I have. And I'm wondering, do you think the fact that so much in the gaming industry is geared towards young, white, straight guys, that this kind of thing becomes more of a problem because, number one, of the culture, and number two, how this is so often completely tolerated and accepted within that culture? Do you think that lends itself?
To that degree, yes, I do agree. I agree that, like, looking at the backlash that happened afterwards, where all the hate I was receiving over the internet for speaking up about this, from what I can tell, it was, at least from the people that had legitimate accounts and weren't creating spam accounts, it was all, from what I could tell, straight white men that were very much sort of, oh, gaming's our thing, get out of here, get away from gaming, you don't belong here, get away.
Yeah. And
it's definitely this problem that, like, Eurogamer as a convention, like, they've done some really positive things in recent years to make it a more welcoming convention to people that are not straight white males. Like, they recently abolished there are no booth babes there anymore, for example, things like that. But it doesn't change the fact that it's still a 99% male space that is a threatening space as it is. And it makes, there's a lot of ways that a lot of things can go problematic in that space.
Okay. Well, you know, there was another thing I wanted to ask you, because I get involved with a lot of MMO gaming. I was involved with the game EVE Online for a long time. I spent about 3 years playing that. And one of the things that I've noticed is a lot of times, particularly with MMOs, but I guess with other games as well, these identity-based gaming groups start popping up. I've been a member of a few that are LGBT. I know there are ones that are centered around race or religion and other things. And on the one hand, I found, and this I wrote to you in an email earlier, on the one hand, I feel very comfortable in those kind of spaces because I don't have to worry about, oh, is somebody going to get upset if they find out I'm trans, if they hear my voice on a voice chat? Are they going to get all freaked out because it doesn't match my name? Or, on the other hand, am I self-segregating? Am I just, by doing that, am I creating a situation where all I play with is people like myself, and is that a bad thing?
I completely agree with you on that regard in terms of self-segregation. It's something that I've had sort of in my personal life and in my gaming life. Like, things like some people on the site I run were covering a convention called GamerX that happened in America recently. Mm-hmm. And like, I was really mixed on my thoughts on that, just because, again, it's this sort of, I like the idea of a safe space in that regard, where it's a convention where you can go to and you don't have to worry about that sort of thing. But equally, yeah. I don't like this whole aspect of that's the convention for you because that's the one that, like, oh no, you can go to that one because that one will be all right for you. And it's it's a really weird one, because it's like, I know I've done similar stuff just in my own life. Like, I used to go to church, and I stopped going because personally I wasn't made to feel comfortable in the church I was in. Mm-hmm. For a while I went to a specific LGBT church, and again, it was one of those, I left there because I didn't like the thought I was self-segregating, which is a really weird issue. And again, like, for MMOs, I've tried that in MMOs, and I eventually went off of it, just because while it's nice to have that safe space, it doesn't do anything to combat the issues behind it. And if, you know, if all of us stick in those safe spaces forever, we're all going to stick in those safe spaces, and there's never going to be any way for us to get out of them. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does make sense, actually. It makes a lot of sense. Now, another thing I wanted to ask you along those same lines is, how do we fight against this sort of thing? When we see something like this, when you're faced in a situation such as the way you were, even though you're saying, you know, this person may have just been misgendering unintentionally, and it was, not quite as much of an intentional thing, but even when we face those situations, whether it's face-to-face or it's on an online situation, or, whether it's a forum or a chat or something like that, what's the best way to deal with this? Should we remove ourselves? Should we go say, oh, yeah, I'm going to contact the administrator or whoever that may be? Or should we do something like go public with it and, you know, go online? And I mean, how should we as LGBT people handle this when it happens?
I think a lot of it depends on the situation, obviously. I know for myself, just general wide issues, I've tried to put myself out there, just because I know that generally, just industry-wide, there's a big problem with trans people and visibility, and just the fact that, because for a lot of trans people, the end objective is stealth, and understandably so, not wanting people to know about sort of your past. Mm-hmm. It creates this sort of self-fulfilling problem where if people go stealth, then they're not talking about trans issues or not talking about them from that perspective. And it means that those things don't get talked about. And I guess, like, for me, it's just, if issues come up, make a point of saying, yes, issues are coming up, and, you know, spread the word that, yes, these things do happen. Whether I dealt with what happened at the weekend correctly or not, I think I did the right thing by, once I started receiving sort of these walls of hate over the internet, I was sharing them out with my Twitter followers and saying, look, this is the sort of thing I'm getting for standing up to misgendering. Yeah. This is a problem that needs to be tackled. And it's that sort of, I think, from the perspective of, if you're that person that's being attacked, I think either sort of share that, like, spread the message that, yes, this is a thing and people do need to pay attention to it. As on top of that, I guess that, sorry, I'm not very good at sentences. I'm a bit nervous. I think a hugely understated thing is the effect that allies can have when it comes to tackling these sort of issues. Because someone made a very good point to me recently that if you're a trans person trying to stand up for trans rights, there is an inherent issue of you're the minority trying to fight for your own rights, and you're trying to fight up to the person that's got whatever privilege, like cisgender privilege or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But that thing that when it's a completely different dynamic if you've got someone who's an ally who can fight that battle and say, look, you misgendered this person, this is why it's problematic. Just because they've got that privilege on their side, it rather than having to fight up woods, right. I guess it's a much easier battle to fight if you've got allies that can sort of help you fight that battle at times.
Absolutely. Now, another thing I wanted to ask you, and I didn't even know about this when I originally contacted you to come on the show, I just discovered just today a story that literally just broke today, and I guess it's not surprising, but I wasn't aware of it when I wrote you. I wanted to see if I could get your take. There's apparently a whole hubbub about a very new game called Grand Theft Auto 5, and there's some scenes in it that feature really bad trans women who look obviously masculine, and there's like inside jokes. One of them, which I have to admit, I mean, you know, maybe I have to lose my trans card or something, but there was one that I couldn't help laughing, where the one that says, wait a minute, what was it? Post-op, the games version of UPS that says your package is safe in our hands. And I'm sorry, I thought that was really funny.
It's a weird one. It's difficult to do because on the one hand, it's, I guess, a positive that they're acknowledging that trans people exist. Playing devil's advocate, that's, I guess, a positive. But there is this really weird... I'm waiting to see who eventually solves this issue in games, but you either get this depiction in games where trans women are all indistinguishable, like you would never know, and just like that it was this instant thing. It's like, oh, yeah, just flick of a switch, and they switched gender, and it was really easy. Or you get this other side where they are... It's very obvious trans women who are made the butt of a joke, and... I've yet to see any game that really does a good middle ground.
Does that contribute to the problem, do you think? Because of these portrayals are so awful?
There are a couple of good portrayals that I will point out that I think, like, we really need to see more portrayals like Erica in the game Catherine, who, like, best example I can give a trans character in a game who... It's completely unrelated to... It's in no way central to their character. You would never know. It's one set of choices can bring you to finding that out. And it makes a lot of things make sense in terms of the way she's discriminated against in the game come into play at that point. And yeah, I think that if there were more depictions like that, where it's like, this is a person who is discriminated against and we don't know why, and unless you find it out, and then it's like, oh, that makes sense. I feel really bad for them for being discriminated against. That would be a good thing.
Yeah.
Depictions like GTA 5 are definitely not helping matters.
Yeah. And so I guess this brings me to another question, which is, does it make sense to involve the gaming companies, in other words, the companies that are actually making these games, and saying, you know what, this is a problem for us? I mean, do you think that would have an impact? Is that the way to go about it? As far as just saying, you know, we need your help in combating this kind of transphobic behavior.
It's definitely something that, from discussions with gaming companies, they are aware of these issues.
Yeah.
It's not, from what I can tell from discussions I've had with various companies, it's not that they're ignorant of these issues. It's that a lot of their fear of tackling these issues is, if we get this wrong, an entire community is going to be at our throats, and the game's going to, like, it's going to destroy the game or stuff like that. And there is a lot of fear amongst the AAA industry in particular of, we don't want to risk covering a topic if we're not certain, like, if there's any chance that we might cover it wrong and end up creating a lot of backlash. Which isn't that for every company, but...
Well, yeah, but see,
I don't know how we
company,
get around that.
Yeah, but the issue that I have, I guess, is we're talking about a company like, for example, Rockstar Games, the company that makes GTA 5. They're already putting something out there, you know, that's you know, so, you know,
I think the only thing you can do in examples like this is... complain about the examples that exist, like, definitely complain and say to Rockstar, look, I am not happy with this representation if you're not happy with it. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, I think it's not a great solution, but I think what's inevitably going to be the solution for how trans issues get tackled in games and then through AAA games is, I don't know if you're aware of a recent indie game called Gone Home.
I've heard the name. I don't. Yes. I must admit, I don't know anything about it.
To summarize it briefly, it's a story about a family, and it like the big story is that it's a story about the youngest sister in the family falling in love with another girl, and it's her sort of coming out, coming of age, dealing with her parents and how they react. That's the big story behind it. Mm-hmm. And it was a brilliant game for tackling, like, a really small team made it that knew what they were talking about, knew the issues really, really closely, and made a great game that showed people, okay, if you want to have gay characters in a game, this is a great template of how to do it. And I think that for trans issues, it's going to be the same. There's going to be someone on a small team that really understands how to create a trans character that both trans and non-trans people can relate to. And that's going to be the proving ground that will sort of go forward and be like, okay, this is the template. If you want a trans character in your game, this is a good template to work from. It's not an ideal situation because it means that we have to wait for someone to do it right. But I think there'll be someone out there that will know how to do it that will eventually provide that great example that others can follow, hopefully.
Okay, yeah, well, that's, you know, because that's really, you know, it seems to me that there's a money motivation, as you were kind of alluding to a minute ago, that these companies, like you said, there's a fear that, oh, if we take this on, we're risking losing profitability or something. But I'm wondering if we involve agencies, well, agencies is the wrong word, but organizations that are not directly in the gaming industry, but organizations that support LGBT and trans people, as far as civil rights, and organizations like GLAAD here in the U.S. and other organizations like that. Does it make sense to involve those people and those organizations and say, look, if you make a GTA 5 and we don't like your content, we're going to make sure that people know about it and that you get a bad rep in our community because of it? I mean, does that...
Definitely. I think that's a great thing, just because there's not a lot being said within the gaming community, just because there's such aggression against LGBT people within the gaming community. There's very few people that do that sort of, like, very few people to stand up in mass and say, no, we object to this portrayal. But when you look at, like, go outside of gaming and look at specific LGBT communities that exist online and say, look, this is a thing that's happening. You might not be aware of it because you're not into games, but this is a form of media that's doing a disservice to people in this community. Can we get together and do something, like, rally some support and some opposition against it? That's possibly a way forward, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so, I guess, now before we wrap up, because this is terrific, I wasn't sure we were going to get you, but I'm glad we did, because this has been a really good conversation. And, but before we wrap up, let me ask you, you know, we've been talking about this, which games, you mentioned Catherine, and I guess there are some others. Which games would you recommend? You got a lot of trans listeners on this show.
Okay.
So you're talking to your fellow trans folks here. Which games do you recommend? And are there any good gaming sites or groups that you would recommend for trans gamers?
I would definitely recommend Catherine. Possibly go looking online to find out how to, like, good ways to go through, through Erica's story, but Erica's got a really strong story in there. I would suggest Gone Home, just because even though it's primarily a story about a lesbian couple, there were scenes in that I really related to, just on a trans level. There's a scene in there about coming out to parents and not being taken seriously that I think is brilliant and outstrips a lot of other things done in the gaming community about trans issues. I'm on the spot now. I can't think of other games. What other games exist?
I don't know. I mean, yeah. You know, it's, I mean,
I'm supposed to know this.
I'm a total
I read about geek. Games. I should know.
I'm a total geek. I mean, you know, I'm right now I'm playing Star Trek Online, and of course my captain is a Trill, because, you know, I mean,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it was that's the Star Trek way of working in the whole trans thing, I think. You know,
you just made me remember a really good example. There's an indie game. It's not out yet, but it's coming out soon, called Red Shirt. Yes, it's a Star Trek themed social networking simulator.
Okay.
It does some really interesting stuff with gender sliders rather than a gender binary.
Oh, cool.
Particular things like a great example. One of the races, I can't remember the name of the race. It's an all-female race that you can move the gender slider to male if you want. So you can have a male-identifying member of an all-female race.
How interesting.
It's really interesting, and there's some really nice stuff done with how it handles gender. There's some odd stuff, like the image of your character is still a gender binary, so depending on which side of 50% you are, it will still flip an image to the male or the female image.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it uses a slider is interesting and definitely has some merit.
Absolutely. So,
yeah.
That's really interesting. You know, because I've always felt that, you know, at the core, what these games are fantasy worlds. And, you know, you can put yourself in, not necessarily as the person you see in the mirror, but a fantasy version of yourself who you would like to, you know, if you happen to live in the Federation, or if you lived in the world of Skyrim or Lord of the Rings or any one of a bazillion other worlds. And to me, that's part of the fun. Is to say,
exactly, well, brilliant.
You know, okay, I'm not a smoking hot redhead with a perfect figure, but, you know, I can be one for a couple of hours. You know?
Exactly. And I know that for me, that was how I got into gaming originally. It was like, hey, this is an example to be a way to be someone that I wish I was, which can be a really nice thing sometimes.
And that's one of the reasons, you know, it's so funny, and I'm sure this has happened to you as well. On the rare occasions that I've come out in gaming communities, when I've seen, like, for example, at one point, transphobia or similar things, and I've said, you know, and I'm I do a radio show, so it's not exactly, I'm not exactly revealing any deep, dark secrets, but I have had trans people contact me on these games, like, oh my God, you're so courageous, I could never tell anybody. You know, yeah. And I think there's a much larger trans community that is playing games than actually is willing to let themselves be known.
Well, I that would not surprise me. Just, you know, for making myself known this week, the kind of comments I've received, I really can't blame people for not making themselves known. But it's a shame, because while people aren't making themselves known, these things are never going to change, unfortunately.
Exactly.
Or it's going to be a long battle before they do.
Absolutely. Laura, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to and I hope you'll you know, join us again and you know, participate in the show, because, you know, I love talking gaming. I never get a chance to talk gaming on this show because, you know, usually the two rarely cross. But I was so excited by having a chance to talk to another trans gamer. So this was great. And,
that's brilliant. Yeah. Thank you for having me. I would definitely be happy to come on again sometime.
Absolutely.
Sorry if I've been a bit awkward. It's a lot's been going on this week. It's
you
been a tough one.
You were awesome. You were terrific.
Brilliant.
And I hope we'll do it again, because this is a lot of fun. And, you know, we don't always have to talk about bad stuff too. We can talk about good stuff, like, hey,
exactly.
you know, I mean, personally, my two big ones that I'm waiting for Christmas are Watch Dogs and the new Batman game. Those are my two biggies. You know,
definitely.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Go on.
Which one?
Sorry.
No, go ahead. Which one were you saying?
Oh, no, I wasn't. I don't know what's going on.
Never mind.
Sorry.
All right. Anyway, it was great to have you on, and I hope we can do it again. Thank you so much.
Brilliant. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye now. All right. And that was Laura Kate Dale from the UK, trans gamer, trans gaming writer, and that was awesome. I think she was terrific. Hope we have her on again. And, hey, we are way late for our break, aren't we? Yes, we are, about 9 minutes late, but that's okay, because we were having a good conversation. That's always awesome. So why don't we go to our break now? We got, what the hell do we have on? Mr. Mike told me.
Coyote Grace.
Oh, yeah, Coyote
it's
Grace.
It's a secret.
Here's
I'll whisper.
The song is Zuma, and then we'll be back, and we'll catch you in about 5, okay?
Bye.
Hello.
See bipartisan cooperation today. We could respond to the national security threat these two gentlemen have laid out. If, God forbid, we see an attack on the United States because the intelligence community was not adequately funded.
If the gentleman would suspend, pursuant to Clause 12A of Rule 1, the House will stand in recess.
She was near the White House. We're being told that words were exchanged between her
and police. When she tried to move away, she hit a police car. The airbag in that car was deployed and a chase began. The woman was driving very, very quickly. She was running through lights, we're being told by an intelligence source. She was making her way towards the Capitol. At that point, the intelligence source is saying that use of force was authorized.
Shelter in place. Close, lock, and move away from doors and windows. If you are outside of an office building, seek cover away from the area. Additional information will follow.
All right, we are back. It's the Rebecca Giroir Show. Thanks for sticking around.
Yikes.
And, yeah, that was some of the announcements that you heard in Washington, D.C. During that period when they were having the shootout with this woman. I mean, oh, God. I mean, what is that? What the fuck is going on with our country? I swear to God.
Now, as I understand it, she tried to get through a security barrier drive her car through a security barrier at the White House. But what happened after that?
Basically, according to what I read, she's dead. They killed her.
Oh my God.
They were chasing her, firing their guns. I mean, unfortunately, I didn't get the whole, because I've been locked in my little cave here preparing the show, so I missed the evening news.
I'm going to check HuffPo while we're doing the show live here and see if we can get an update on that. But the woman is dead. She had a little girl in the car, and nobody really understands what her motivation was. But I thought it was really, I put that thing together earlier when I found out about this thing, and Ted Cruz is kind of egging on the terrorists, saying, well, you know, it's going to be just really awful if something happens. And so something did happen.
Yeah, and that's... I mean, you know...
During the government shutdown.
Yeah,
we wouldn't want anything bad to happen, Ted Cruz says.
Yeah, of course. You know, but, of course, Ted Cruz is himself the height of irresponsibility, so...
I think Ted is a terrorist, myself.
I tend to agree. I mean, you know, the guy is just so far to the right, he will say and do anything to keep himself in the public eye. I mean, it doesn't even have to make sense. See, that's what kills me with this guy, okay? And he is by no stretch the only one. I mean, he is just yet another example of a Republican Party that has just gone off the rails completely. I mean, really. I mean, these people, they're not even making an attempt to say, well, you know, we really want to speak out for the American people and blah, 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 blah. You know, they just, their attitude is we are not here to legislate. We're here to prevent people from legislating. I mean, that's really what this is about. And that's the problem. The problem is that they're doing it. They're doing it successfully. And so people are going to have to make a choice. Is this what you want? You want nothing to happen? You want nothing to... I mean, is this good enough? I personally don't think so. You know, but then again, as long as people keep voting for these people and keep returning them to office... This is what we're going to see, because they have no good reason, you know, not to stop what they're doing, and every reason to keep doing it, because, well, you know, this kind of bullshit got them elected last time. Well, if it worked last time, well, why shouldn't it work the next time, and the time after that, and the time after that, and the time after that? And as long as they keep getting elected to office by pulling this crap, okay, because now, I mean, look at Ted Cruz, okay? The guy is as far to the right. I mean, you know, if somebody who's as middle of the road, relatively speaking, comparatively speaking, I should say, as a Mitt Romney, isn't too far
centrist.
To the right. You know, and he's, relatively speaking, is a moderate,
right,
as far as this goes. I mean, he's bad, but he's nowhere near as bad as some of these idiots.
Now, we know who is sending money now to make sure that Ted Cruz is well-financed. The campaign that got him to the Senate from Texas.
Well, they want to run him for president.
Well, of course. A lot of the money, $600,000 in Ted Cruz's war chest to get that Senate seat that he occupies right now, came from Peter Thiel. And if the listeners don't know who that guy is, he's one of the co-founders of PayPal and Facebook. And he's worth, I don't know, maybe $1.5 billion. So he's got a lot of money to throw around. In a case like that, $600,000 ain't chump change to a guy like that. But he's absolutely crazy. He's this just extreme libertarian. He thinks that there should be a floating island of libertarians, and I wish he would do that. Nothing but libertarians. But in the meanwhile, he's kind of tweaking the United States government and some of these other billionaires.
Well, because I think Ted Cruz in particular is looking to 2016.
Sure.
They're already talking about him as a candidate.
But is he electable? We've been saying that's the worst thing that the Republicans could do. That would be easy street. But I don't know. I just don't know anymore.
I think if Ted Cruz ends up being the Republican candidate next time, or excuse me, oh my goodness, if he winds up being the presidential candidate, I think whoever it is, Biden, Hillary, whoever, can already start picking out what their favorite style of presidential Oval Office rug is going to be. Because Ted Cruz, you know what? There's people who love Ted Cruz. There are people who think that he is God.
I live amongst them here in Arizona. They're everywhere.
Yeah, and they are there, and they exist. But they are also not enough of those people to put someone in office. Okay? There aren't even enough of those people to put a Mitt Romney in office. And he's a hell of a lot more mainstream than Ted Cruz.
I'll sleep better at night. Between now
of course,
and 2016.
That's not saying much, but you know.
I know. Well, you've reassured me. I feel better now.
Yeah, I think that Ted Cruz is. I mean, that would be a gift to the Democratic Party. It truly would be.
By the way, Peter Thiel, please go build your libertarian island, floating island someplace, and leave us alone. Thank you. And
somewhere
he's gay. This is a gay guy, but he's totally out of his mind. It just goes to show you that you can be any sexual, you can be any sexual orientation, like Thiel is gay, and be a total loon ball, which he is.
Oh, well, we know that. I mean, come on. I mean, you know, I say this on the show all the time.
Right.
That just because we're trans and we're gay and we're these things doesn't mean we're perfect. I mean, there are trans criminals, there are gay criminals, there are trans assholes, there are gay assholes. It's just another way to be, you know. I mean, for every Mara Kiesling, there's also a bad example.
Just fill in your own bad example, I guess.
Right, exactly. I'm not going to go there because any one of the things that are popping up in my head will just get me in trouble. So I'm just going to shut up now. But seriously, I mean, I think that we as a community have got to get our act together in general. It goes back to what I was talking about with Laura Kate. I think when we are mistreated, when we are given the short shrift, when we are handed lines like we are by the Obama administration and by Harry Reid and people like that and Nancy Pelosi, we have to say, you know what, I'm sorry, but we are not going to accept this. That, you know, when you come to us with your hands out, with your begging bowl in front of you, and say, give us money, we have to start asking, on behalf of ourselves, on our friends and neighbors, on the people who care about the issues that we do, you want my money? Well, what have you done to earn it? Why? Tell me why I should give you my money. What have you done to stand up for me? You're asking me to dig into my pocket to stand up for you. You've got to answer the question, why should I? Why? What have you done for me that makes you worth fighting for? You know, I don't think, you know, because here's the problem. As long as we keep giving these people money and not asking anything in return, what do we get? We get 17-year waits for the Employment Non-Discrimination Act to get a vote in the Senate. That's what we get. Just giving these people money when they ask for it doesn't help. It works against the goal. So I say it's time to start tying our donations and our support to real effort. You want my money, Harry Reid? You want my money, Nancy Pelosi? Well, then you better fucking do something to earn it. All right, it is time for our final break. And what do we got? I keep clicking on the wrong thing here. Yet another one from the new one by Joan. This is called Reality Mentality. This kicks ass.
Will you marry me?
I need to go talk to them.
Fine, but I'll need an answer. I'm not going to wait for you forever.
You won.
Sidestep the little bits of history repeating.
All right, we are back. It's the Rebecca Juro Show. Thanks for sticking around. And, wow, we have been covering so much stuff tonight. You know, I'll tell you, this whole thing with the video games, we were talking about with Laura Kate. I think she's terrific. She has a job I've actually attempted to get once or twice, trying to write on gaming. My problem is I'm not one of these people. I don't sit there and write about, okay, here's your latest technique for dispatching a certain enemy or something like that. I don't write stuff like that. I write like, well, I like this game. Here's how it made me feel, and the graphics are this. And I write like this experience stuff. I want to go in and enter a world and play in that world. And that's what I like to do. Okay. So sitting there and trying to calculate, okay, I need exactly this much power on this scale and then this many points in this ability in order to accomplish this goal. I mean, that kind of thing, I leave that to other people because that's not my thing. So I don't get any work from that, unfortunately. That's, you know, I would love to do that, but unfortunately people are more interested in telling me how, you know, they want to read the article that tells them how to beat the latest monster in Skyrim or something, and that's really not what I do. But it's interesting. Going back just for a minute to what we were talking about, there's this exchange in Grand Theft Auto 5 where they have these pictures. So we were talking about this with Laura, where it's like these trans women who are basically, if you look at the models, if you look at the pictures, BuzzFeed has this. Okay, so if you look in the LGBT section over on BuzzFeed, you'll find it. The title of the article is Grand Theft Auto is Just as Transphobic as You'd Expect. And basically, if you look at the pictures of the trans women in this thing, it's basically, you could tell, they used male models, they put tits on them, and dress them in, like, ridiculous outfits. I mean, maybe they were supposed to be street hookers. But, I mean, like, one has a mustache, they all have beard shadow. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, do you have to make them look like idiots? I mean, you guys have such level of skill in creating character models in these games. They spend millions and millions of dollars on these things. And then you look at stuff like this, and it's like, I mean, couldn't you guys, like, make a little more of an effort, you know, to create a credible trans character? I mean, and the dialogue. Like, here's some of the dialogue. There's lines, like, says, one of the characters, the male character speaking to one of the trans women says, "Hello, sir, I mean, madam, I mean, whatever." Another one, he says, "Hello, mid-op." Another character says, "Almost fooled me, bro-she, almost." Another one, "You need to keep taking your hormones." And these are supposed to be funny. These are supposed to be humorous. Uh-huh. One trans woman says to another, "I don't think the laser treatment is working." And another trans woman says, "They won't let me on the ladies' basketball league at the rec center. This is crazy. I think I'm going to sue or something." Yeah, ha-ha. It's
painful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Then there's another one where a trans woman on the phone says, "I just wish he'd let me untuck more. I don't know if I want to lose it forever, and he needs to understand that." I mean, it's like, you know, I mean, certain things you can say, there are certain things that are funny that you can use, and like this whole post-op thing. You know, they have these two logos. One is no longer just male, M-A-I-L, which I thought was cute. But like I say, the funny one was post-op, "Your package is safe in our hands." I thought that was hysterical. I really did. I just thought that was very funny. But, you know, I don't know. The problem with these situations is with these kind of characters is it lends itself to a certain kind of bigotry. You know, if you saw something like that in a movie or on television, people would be screaming bloody murder. But somehow, because it's a video game, people are like, well, you know, I think that's bullshit. I do. I think it's bullshit. I think, you know, you got to be able to be consistent. And you got to say, you know what, if this was wrong if I watched it in a movie, if this would be wrong if I watched it on television, then why isn't it wrong when I see it in a video game? I mean, that's the problem. And I think the problem is there's this perception that video games are for young, white, straight men, boys. And there's just this perception, okay? Now, are there young, white, straight boys playing video games? Oh, yeah, you bet. But there are also black trans women and, you know, white trans women and trans guys and gay men and lesbians and genderqueer teenagers and, you know what I mean? There's a much, 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 much wider and more diverse group playing these games. Because don't forget, okay, the median age, at least now, this is, I saw a study, I guess this is about a year old study, but it found that the median age of video game players is 35. Okay, so think about what that means. If the median age of video gamers is 35, that means there's as many playing who are younger than that as there are who are older. Think about that for a second. That means that there are as many people who are playing at the age of 20 as there are at the age of 50. Think about that. Okay, now a lot of these games, in fact, several, many of these games, have a much more mature audience. One of the reasons why I played EVE for as long as I did was because the game, the player base in that game is very mature. It's mostly older folks. I mean, you're not going to get a lot of 14-year-olds playing EVE. It's too complicated. The violence is not as... There's not... I mean, it's not one of these games where you just run around and blow shit up. Okay? That's what a lot of these younger people play. It's these shoot-em-up games where... you know, you just run around and blow shit up. Stuff like Grand Theft Auto, for example, or Call of Duty, or shit like that, where you're doing is you're running around with a gun or a phaser or a laser or whatever, and blowing shit up. And there's nothing wrong with that. I play games like that myself. I enjoy them a lot. But when you're getting into games that are a little bit more sophisticated, stuff that involves, well, okay, yeah, you're going to go out and blow shit up, but you also have to do all these other things in addition to blowing shit up. A lot of times, the younger gamers, you know, particularly teenagers, don't have patience for that stuff. They just want to go grab a gun and start shooting. And so what happens is when you have these situations where somebody like Laura Kate gets mistreated, where somebody, you know, there's just this attitude of, you know, oh, well, you know, those trannies really creep me out. And then instead of these companies doing something about it, instead of them saying, you know what, not in our house, not in our game, not under our banner, we're not doing that. You want to have a problem with trans people, you want to have a problem with gays, that's your business. Don't bring it into our forums. Don't bring it into our game. You know, but the reality is what happens is the people who get punished, the people who get discriminated against, the people who get repressed are the gays and the trans people, because these gaming companies are more concerned that it's going to cost them money. You know, well, you know, there aren't that many of these people, but, you know, that could cost us, you know, if we offend some of them by telling them, hey, you know, maybe, you know, could you knock off the bigotry? You know, you see, and that to me is where we have to step in. And I mean we as a community, and we have to step in and say, you know what? No, this is not acceptable. Just like we do when we're misgendered in the news. Seriously. Okay, you heard the story. We talked about it last week on the show. The woman in New Brunswick right near my house who was woman, Erica Morgan, okay, was misgendered by the Star-Ledger. Well, I should point out that that reporter has published a second article where she properly genders Erica Morgan, so that was nice to see. But yet, at the same time, we see this kind of thing all the time. And so we have to be able to stand up and say, you know what, this is unacceptable. And if you don't knock it off, we're going to call you out on it. We're going to say, you know what, this company is looks the other way while bigotry happens under their banner. I mean, you know, we boycott, what the hell's the name of that company? Barilla Pasta, when their CEO says bad things about gays and gay marriage. When are we going to boycott, I don't know, Rockstar Games? See, but nobody wants to boycott Rockstar Games because we like the games that they make. But the question is, how much do we like them? Do we like them enough to put up with this stuff? Okay, and you know, there's a fine line between thoughtful and non-bigoted presentations and censorship. We don't want to say, hey, you know, you shouldn't do that because, you know, where do we end? Should we not have black people? Should we not have Hispanics? Should we not have, you know? I mean, that to me is going a little bit overboard. But we should say, you know what? You can have trans women, okay? They don't have to be perfect. I mean, we're not looking. I mean, this is not a documentary. But for God's sakes, how about, like, not being bigoted about it? I mean, just to put it into context, could you imagine if there, you heard these ridiculous quotes that I made, right? Okay, could you imagine if they applied similar quotes to people who were in reference to being African-American or Asian or Jewish or whatever? People would be screaming bloody murder. But because it's trans women, all of a sudden, well, you know, it's not the same thing, right? Bullshit. It is the same thing. It is exactly the same thing. And that is the problem. And we have to elevate the discussion to that point where you say, you know what? When you make these kinds of jokes, they're not funny. And they're bigoted. And you know what? We are going to call you out for being bigoted. And you know what? Chances are, GTA, Grand Theft Auto 5, I mean, will they lose a few sales? Yeah, maybe. Are they going to notice? Probably not. But you know what? If it happens often enough, and again, and again, and again, and it keeps going on, and you know how these things work on the internet, the more we keep doing it, and the more effective it is, and we start saying to companies, go after their bread and butter, and saying, you know, hey, parents, maybe you should think twice before buying Junior GTA 5 for Christmas. It has bigoted representations of women and trans people, and do you really want your child dealing with that? So, you know, maybe you cut into their Christmas haul. Because, don't forget, there's a reason why all these new games are coming out now. Because Christmas is coming, and they want to have all those games on the shelf when people start doing their Christmas shopping, which is, generally speaking, the early birds are already in the stores. So if we start putting out stuff that says, you know what, maybe this is not the right game to buy for Junior this year. Maybe, you know, you should question whether or not this should be on your family's shelf. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it may not cost them hundreds of thousands of purchases, but it might cost them some. And what company really wants to be responsible for losing themselves sales that they could have made otherwise? Well, it may do nothing. Or you may find that it works. I mean, look at how fast the CEO of Barilla caved when the gay community started. Well, he asked for it. I mean, this guy, Guido Barilla, you know, oh, if gays don't like it, they can go buy another pasta. Remember that? I mean, talk about asking for it. Well, I think these guys are asking for it. And I think we have to say, you know what? Your portrayal of trans people, people who I care about, people who are in my family, people who are my friends, people who are whatever, you know, part of my family or whatever, I don't like it, so I'm not going to purchase your game. Or, even if you're a fan, even if you want to buy the game, but you don't want to, I'm trying to think of a way to put this, if you want to buy the game, but you don't want to, like, increase their sales, especially around Christmas time, you want to punish, you want to make a statement, wait a year. The game will still be the same. Just wait a year. Wait until their initial public push is over, and when they get a lackluster Christmas season on that game, and if you can tie it to this kind of thing, you'll find that it changes soon enough. The problem is, this sells. it sells. It's popular with boys. And I gotta say, when I say boys, I mean boys, as in male children, and those who act like male children. That's really what it's about. That's really what it's about. And these companies, you know, whether it's Rockstar Games or Xbox or Microsoft or any of these companies, need to know that, you know what, this was okay 10 years ago, 15 years ago. It's not okay now. Just like it was okay to say certain things about black people 10, 15, 20 years ago, it's not okay now. And I think that's what has to happen. I think we have to say, you know what? We do not accept this. Our families do not accept this. Our friends do not accept this. Okay, one of the ways that we can do that is you can say, for example, here, let's see. I want to see something. Well, we got a few minutes left. I'm going to check this out just for fun. I want to see what I'm going to put in Grand Theft Auto 5 V rating. Because I wonder what the rating is on this game. If it's for teens or what. Okay. It is M rated. Okay. Now, that's very interesting. Okay. An M rating on a video game is, well, it's kind of like an R rating or an X rating. Okay. So an M rating is mature. That means, I'm pretty sure it means that you're not allowed to, not allowed, but theoretically stores are not supposed to sell it to anyone less than 18 years old or 17 or 18 years old. Basically it's marked as just, it's considered not for kids, you know? And, the problem is though, is that means it doesn't mean not for kids. What it really means is that kids aren't going to be buying it. Dad's going to be buying it at the store, or mom's going to be buying it at the store. 14-year-olds are playing these games. Make no mistake about that. So what do? You say, well, you know what, Dad? You know what, Mom? This is not the game you should be buying your kids. Why? Because look at the bigoted stereotypes and hate and bigotry that's through this. You may not want to be buying this for your family. You know, here's a nice racing game over here. Here's a nice game over here with the nice little elves, and they go around with their swords and beat the crap out of the evil monsters. It's violent, but, you know, at least they're not making fun of transgender people and gays. You know, I mean, there are ways of doing this, of applying commercial pressure, of saying, if you don't straighten out your act, we're not going to support you anymore. Or we're not, you know, that I am not going to buy these products for my family and leave them in my house because I'm not comfortable with the content. Now, for a game like GTA 5, what that really means is that only the adults, people who are over 18, are going to be able to buy that game. How big of a difference is that going to make? You know what? I don't know. Could it help? Could it get people to finally start paying attention? Maybe. Maybe. But you got to do something, because as we were talking about earlier, you'll never know. You're never going to fix it unless you put it out there and say, this is unacceptable to me. That's what we really need to do, is we need to make the point that says, I will not stand for this. I will not allow it in my home, and I will not purchase your product. Now, if you same company. You see, it's different than when you have pasta. Well, then you just say, well, I'm not going to buy your pasta anymore. Well, but yeah, but if you don't buy GTA 5, well, the next game that Rockstar makes may be something you want. So you don't want to say, I'll never buy another Rockstar game again, because that's bullshit, and it doesn't make much sense. But you certainly can say, well, I have no intention of buying this game. And I'm going to recommend to my friends and family that they don't buy this game. I think that's perfectly reasonable. And I'll tell you something else. Do that often enough and have a dent often enough, and people will eventually start to notice. It may take a while. It may take even a few years. But people will notice, especially if and when it cuts into their finances. So, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is necessarily. But I do know that as long as we do nothing, as long as nothing is done, as long as we don't have organizations like GLAAD and other organizations on this, we can be sure that nothing will happen. Frankly, I think we deserve better. And I think, you know, companies, you know, these companies, they're looking to keep up with whatever's hot, because it's always something. You know, maybe they're truly profit margin making. They're profitable for a few years after they're released, at most. Really, most of their sales come within the first few months after something's released, and then sales start to drop. Well, you know, if we just get people to say, you know what, nobody is telling you don't ever buy this game. We're asking you, don't buy it for a year. Don't buy it for 6 months. I think you do that enough times, you hurt the profit margins, you hurt the returns. Sooner or later, these people are going to start to notice. And furthermore, if you see something like that in your gaming situation, whether it's online or you're in a game and you hear somebody saying stuff, talking crap, don't tolerate it. If need be, if you feel it's the only way to make your point, go public. Do what you got to do. Give them, cost them, and say, you know what? If you're going to look the other way as this kind of thing goes on, I'm going to make sure my friends know. I'm going to make sure that my friends and my family know what you're doing. I don't think that's too much to ask. And I think it could make a difference. I mean, you're wrong, but oh my goodness, I can't believe this. We're like fucking out of time again. Oh my God. Where does it go? It seems like I just started this damn thing, and already it's time to wrap this thing up. Well, all right. First thing I want to say is I want to say thank you to Laura Kate Dale for joining us a little earlier. She was awesome. I hope we'll have her on again. Also, as always, I want to say thank you to Mr. Mike for twirling my knob so I can push your buttons. And of course, first, I want to say thank you to you for supporting this media, for tuning in, for listening to my blather, for all the stuff that you do every day. And remember, no live show next week. We'll be rerunning something. And then the following week, we will be live. We will catch you then. Have a good night, everybody.
Criswell. This is a story of those in the twilight time. Once human, now monsters. Monsters to be pitied. Monsters to be despised. From the innermost depths of the world.